In our current sermon series on biblical worship, we want to continue tonight to think about the liturgy itself, the order of things in the worship service. Remember, dear friends, it is a dialogue between covenant partners, the Lord God, our covenant Lord on the one hand, and then on the other hand, we have the covenant servants. That would be us, the Church of Christ. Well, next in the service, we come to the greeting. God assures us in the greeting, it's God's greeting, and he assures us there that he is ready in grace to do just what we've asked. So the title this evening, God's Greeting Guarantees Us Grace. And our sermon text, friends, tonight from 1 Peter 1, again, it is here in the very beginning of 1 Peter, it's the apostle's greeting, but insofar as he is an apostle of Jesus Christ and a prophet serving the living God, he brings that greeting on God's behalf. It is God's greeting that Peter brings the churches here at the beginning of his letter. So let's read now the living and holy word of God from 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. This is God's word from 1 Peter 1. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ and friends, what's in a greeting anyway? You know, in our typical greetings, the greetings that you and I most regularly, even daily, throughout the day, have on our lips, not much to them, right? You know, in other countries, they have maybe some very warm embrace and even kiss each other on a cheek or maybe on two cheeks. That not the American way, right? We simply give a hey or a hi most of the time, neither of which communicates much more than I see you there and acknowledge your existence. There's not much more to it. Now, if you're expecting company at your house for dinner, let's say, you answer the door with a bit more than hey. Perhaps something a bit more formal, like good evening, welcome, come on in. More warmth, help your guest feel a little bit more comfortable about being at your house. You get the idea. These are things that are very routine for us. We have greetings, all kinds of other greetings we could talk about tonight. Well, why is there a greeting in the early part of the worship service? I should point out that there is a greeting of some sort in the early part of every public worship service, right? No matter what the church is. But in so many of them, as you know, it is only the personal greeting of the worship leader, for example, or the pastor. You simply get a good morning or a good evening, a welcome to, you know, church X, Y, or Z. It's not much more than welcome. We're glad you're here. It's a greeting. And it counts for something, to be sure. But it's not God's greeting. Dear saints, tonight we are considering not the greeting that one of the church leaders or a worship leader of some sort gives to the gathered people of God in a church building on the Lord's Day on a personal level. Rather, we are wanting to think this evening about that greeting which God gives to his gathered covenant people. This is a special event in the worship service. And it's far more than God merely saying hello, even more than his welcome. Our theme this evening, friends, God greets his people, not merely to welcome us into his presence, but also to assure us that he gives us the grace that makes worship possible. Of course, it's nice to get a warm welcome. It can be a very comforting thing. It can make you feel at home. Indeed, God hospitably welcomes people into his house for worship. Indeed, that's part of it. But he gives us so much more than a welcome. He communicates to us not only that he is with us, but also that he is ready to receive the worship that we come to offer him, and that he will supply us with all that we need in order to worship him properly. You may wonder why we are skipping over the song of praise tonight. Right? In our liturgy, at least in this congregation, worship officially begins with God's call to worship. And then after summoning his people, we respond to that call in the prayer of invocation, right? Calling on God to receive our worship and to help us to worship him, all right? After that, we usually have the first song of praise. Then comes God's greeting. Well, the Lord willing, we will, on another occasion, try to give attention to congregational singing. But there will not be a sermon on the first song itself. And friends, there's a very simple reason for that. If you pay attention at all to what you are singing to God in the first song of praise, you know that it is, almost in every case, nothing more than more exhortation for you to worship. In other words, it's an extension of the call to worship, as well as extension of the prayer of invocation, our praying to God that he would help us worship and receive it through his grace in Jesus Christ, as well as giving him praise at the same time. Those are things that already happen in the call to worship and then our prayer of invocation. The first song, more or less, is an extension of those things. And so it would be very repetitive tonight for us to give an entire sermon simply to that first song of praise. But again, tonight we focus on how God answers our prayer of invocation. The dialogue, as I mentioned before, the dialogue between covenant partners continues. So we pray in that prayer of invocation, we're asking God for his grace so that our worship would be acceptable and that God would also strengthen us to worship him properly. But then in the greeting, you see, let me say it one more time here, he is essentially communicating to us as church that he is doing just what we've asked him to do. It's a word of grace by which God communicates to us his intention to receive what we offer. It's also the way he communicates to us that he will indeed help us to do in his house what is pleasing in his sight. First, a question, however, about form. Why do the greetings that we use in a public worship service, why are those greetings that we hear early on in the service always coming from some New Testament letter? Well, it may seem like a sort of pedantic point this evening. I don't want to take too much time on explaining this. But friends, I do think it's important for you to get a sense of, well, even why we're looking at 1 Peter 1 tonight. For that's where we get God's greeting much of the time. So my first point this evening, the greeting comes from the writings of apostles who gave to the church not their own word, but the very word of God. The greeting comes from the writings of apostles, so such as Peter or Paul or John, what have you. Apostles who gave to the church not their own word, but the very word of God. An easy way of putting this is to say that we use these handful of New Testament passages, such as 1 Peter 1, because they are the only divine greetings that we have. We're not going to make up what God says to us by way of greeting us. So we use these portions of Holy Scripture, which are, in fact, God's greeting to his church. Of course, Christians do not always appreciate that this is the case, that the greeting is really God's word of grace to the congregation. The thing you want to notice from the very start of 1 Peter is that the author of this letter identifies himself, right at the very, very, very first words there, he identifies himself as Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, or an apostle of Jesus. Peter, you understand, is not writing a private, personal letter to a friend. He's an apostle, an official ambassador of Christ. He's a representative of that one and only king over the church, the one head of the church, Jesus Christ. And the words of his letter, yes, while Peter wrote them, and while he very much intended for these to be the words that the church received, in other words, he was personally engaged in writing a letter, don't get me wrong, but they're ultimately not his words. As an apostle, and let me remind you, as a prophet of the living God, Peter speaks and writes on behalf of God. Through the Apostle Peter, you see, come the very words of God. One indication that this is the case is simply that Peter does not use the typical greeting in the Greek language. In Greek literature at this time, Koine Greek, the common language of the Roman Empire, some form of the verb kairo was used. Very interesting. You only find that word at the beginning of one letter, and that would be James. The vast majority of apostolic greetings, here's the point, is not some form of the verb kairo, the typical Greek greeting. You know, it's just a word that basically means rejoice or happy to see you. It's a greeting. Instead, in almost every single instance, there's only that one exception in James, they give the noun, charis, grace to you. It's a very peculiar greeting. And it's always the grace of God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And sometimes something about the Spirit added as well, which you find here in 1 Peter 1. You appreciate that point? Not a small point at all. Apostolic greetings are not typical greetings at the beginning of a letter in the ancient Greco-Roman world. They are a peculiar prophetic activity of a man of God bringing to the church God's greeting. In other words, not Peter's personal greeting, but God's communication of His grace and His peace, which through the greeting He actually gives to His church. Yes, Peter means to convey to the saints that he personally wants them to receive that grace. Peter wants them to enjoy the peace of God, peace with God, peace with each other. In this regard, we might think of the greeting as a prayer. Sometimes, you know, New Testament commentators might say, well, the apostle is wishing for grace and peace. Or maybe you might even consider it a prayer. The apostle is praying for grace and peace. Well, those things might be in some way true of the text. But more is going on. Notice how Peter sets up the greeting by identifying the triune God that the church gathers to worship. He says, I'm Peter writing to you, to those specifically who are elect exiles of the dispersion. So these are Christians scattered throughout these different cities, Pontus, Galatia, and so on. And then verse 2, he sets up the greeting with these phrases. According to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Grace and peace multiplied to the saints in all of these different cities that Peter has mentioned, not especially because he, as a mere mortal man, wishes it to be so, but rather because Peter, as an apostle of Christ, as a prophet of the living God, can inform the church that it is our triune God and Savior who is imparting His grace and peace through the very words of greeting. And you know, this is why many pastors raise a hand or raise both hands in speaking God's greeting to the congregation. You know, I said, well, I'm going to be speaking here about an issue of form. The greeting is not an element of worship. The elements would be the word, the sacraments, right? Prayers, almsgiving. Those things mentioned in Acts 2:42. Those are the big elements. Those are the main things. And everything else fits under one of them. The greeting is a subset of the ministry of the word. Okay? We're talking about formal issues here, how the elements actually are worked out in the service. And we've given a little attention to the fact that they come from portions of Scripture, and I've tried to explain why that is the case. Let me say just a brief word here about why. Here's another formal issue. Hands are often raised when the greeting is spoken to the church. Why is that the case? Why do pastors, ministers of the word, raise a hand or both hands when they give God's greeting? It is not because we style ourselves priests. Very common misunderstanding. You know, because the Aaronic blessing, I mentioned that this morning, there's an Aaronic blessing, and the high priest Aaron would raise his hands over the people Israel and say, Yahweh bless you and keep you, Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and so on. God instructed the high priest to raise hands and give that blessing to the people gathered for worship. And so, yes, priests were doing it, but they're not doing it so much in a priestly capacity. Okay? Pastors are most definitely not priests. We have one priest, friends, and you know it is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man. But pastors, as ministers of the word, engage in the prophetic ministry. So I said it's not priestly. My task is not particularly priestly as a minister of the word, but it is prophetic. I'm a servant of the word. They're not my words. It's the word of God addressed to you. I'm simply serving that word. And in order to make it clear to you that when those words of greeting are spoken, they're not my words, but God's, hands go up. To make it clear that I'm not giving you my personal greeting or my mere wish, but rather assuring you in a very solemn way that I'm giving you, as a servant of the word, I'm giving you God's greeting. I raise hands. Now, doesn't have to be done, but it is a biblical activity. I'm only speaking that greeting, okay? It's not mine per se, it's God's. But you see, God, your triune God, is giving you the grace that he communicates through that greeting. And so it is a very important and special event in the worship service. Let's think of what God is doing in giving that greeting. Briefly, friends, my second point this evening. God's greeting assures us that we sinners are acceptable worshipers only because of Christ Jesus. If we are Christians who have a proper understanding of our sinfulness and of God's holiness, we do not enter into God's presence lightly. We humble ourselves before his holy majesty. And in the prayer of invocation, besides calling on the name of our God, our triune God, we begin to praise our God and Savior. And in that prayer of invocation, we also ask God to be gracious to us sinners, to receive what we gather to offer him through Christ Jesus, our righteous mediator. Well, in the greeting, friends, this is really at the heart of what we want to accomplish tonight, and what we really want to appreciate about God's greeting. The most basic thing God does there is he communicates to us that he is with us, but he is with us in grace. He welcomes us into his holy presence, not because we're worthy, for we are not. In and of ourselves, we have no business dwelling in the presence of the most holy God. Left to ourselves, we ought to say, as I've mentioned before, as Isaiah says in God's presence, woe is me, an unclean sinner. I'm undone to dwell in the presence of that God who dwells in unapproachable light. But because of who he is, we are able to dwell in his presence. A God who has favor and love toward sinners, simply because that is how good God is. But his favor and love come to us only through his Son, Jesus, our great Savior. The greeting, then, is God's way of assuring us that we sinners are acceptable to God and can offer God acceptable worship only because of his grace toward us in Christ Jesus. This is evident in virtually all those New Testament passages where we find a greeting. Let's notice very briefly what Peter writes here. Grace or favor from God, and the saints are to be assured that through that grace, they have peace with God. And these things are even growing. He says, grace and peace multiplied to you. Why? Because the Father foreknew these people. Now that does not mean, where Peter's writing there in verse 2 about the foreknowledge of God, that does not mean that God simply knew about them before they were existed. That's where we go wrong with that word foreknowledge. We think this is just about God. You know, he's God, so he knows the future before it happens. No, he does, but that's not what the biblical word foreknowledge means at all. Foreknowledge is a word of intimacy. It's a word of love. God's foreknowledge is his deciding to know and to love us before we ever existed, even though he knew that we would be totally unlovable sinners in and of ourselves. Friends, foreknowledge in the living God is not just his knowing the future. It is God's intimate love for his chosen ones in Christ Jesus, his eternal Son. Peter says that God's grace and peace also come to the saints in the sanctification of the Spirit. Now, that's not especially our progress in the Christian life, you know, what we typically call sanctification, our growing in godliness. Instead, it is the objective consecration we have by the gift of the Spirit. God taking you unholy sinners and me, all of us unholy sinners who gather for worship, and giving us the Holy Spirit who objectively makes us the holy people of God. Consecration. Look, God has such a love for us, brothers and sisters, that he has come by his own Spirit to live in us. This is what sets us apart to be God's holy people in the first place. Not our personal holiness, but the presence of the Holy Spirit. A Spirit who can dwell with sinners and even in us sinners because of Christ alone. And Peter gets to this, doesn't he? He also tells us that grace and peace are coming to us, the saints, through Christ Jesus. Peter is really saying here that the Father foreknew us and sent his Spirit to set us apart for this purpose, for obedience to Jesus Christ. This does not mean that we are acceptable in God's holy presence because we have been sufficiently obedient, but that God's purpose in giving us his saving and sanctifying grace is, as a matter of fact, to turn us into his obedient children. This is his purpose, to make us obedient, even though that's not what we are naturally of ourselves. And finally, Peter says there in verse 2 that it is for sprinkling, not only for obedience to Jesus Christ that God foreknew us, right? His purpose to make us his obedient children. But it's also for this purpose. He foreknew or foreloved us for sprinkling with the blood of Christ. The Father has foreknown or loved us in order to wash away all of our sin, to purify us, you see, by the shedding of his own Son's blood. Brothers and sisters, this is why we can enter into God's presence and offer acceptable worship in spite of our many sins. God has, once and for all, made us holy through that one offering of Christ Jesus, his Son, on the cross. What would we say in the way of application? You know, what does all of this mean for us? Well, believe your God. Is that enough for you to hear his word and believe it is true? Because, friends, that is exactly the application of the scriptures tonight to us worshipers who are stained by so many sins. If we know ourselves and all of our filth, if we know our holy God into whose presence we enter for worship, we must know that we can offer acceptable worship only through the blood of Christ and by the gift of the Holy Spirit, through the unconditional love, foreknowledge, and election of our gracious God. Well, in the greeting, he guarantees us we have it. Believe. Believe what he's doing, what he's communicating to you through his word. Believe he is true. Believe he is giving us that which he communicates to us, grace and peace of the triune God. This is something for us to believe and to receive for our comfort and joy. We can be sure that we offer our God acceptable worship because of who he is and because of his steadfast love and grace toward us through Jesus, because of all his goodness and mercy. But we need to know, finally, friends, not only that our worship is acceptable, but also that God will help us to give him proper worship, that he will supply us with what we need in order to do the worshiping. Well, we should understand that God assures us in the greeting of this thing too. My third point, God's greeting assures us that we are able to worship only through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Now, as I explained before, Peter is not especially writing here about that work of the Holy Spirit in gradually making us more and more godly, sanctifying us more and more throughout our Christian lives. He's talking about sanctification as that act of God by which he sets us apart for himself, not only by the blood of Christ, but through the gift of the Holy Spirit. But listen, if God has sent his own Spirit into our hearts, the Spirit who works in us new spiritual life, bringing us out of spiritual death, the Spirit who unites us to Christ by a living faith so that we may offer God acceptable praise, then surely God the Spirit will also work in our minds and hearts as we gather for worship to cleanse us and to strengthen us so that we may properly and spiritually engage in the worship of our God. And look, the God who has had foreknowledge of each one of us before we ever existed also knows our weakness. Our Father knows all the things that burden you as you come into his presence. He knows all of the various things that are distracting you from his beauty and majesty. He intimately knows all of us. And so he knows how totally incapable we are to worship him properly in our own strength. The greeting of our God is also meant to assure us that God, who is with us in grace, will give us more grace in Christ. Namely, that he will sanctify us by his Spirit and equip us for this great task of worship. And of course, if Jesus once shed his precious blood at the cross in order to pay for our sins, supplying us not only with everlasting life, kingdom salvation, peace with God, but even with the Holy Spirit, well, friends, surely he is with us still, where two or three are gathered in his name, right? He is with us to wash away our sins, supplying us not only with more forgiveness, but also with the freedom to draw near to God with a clear conscience. A few words from Hebrews 10, starting at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Friends, hear that word. Believe it. And as often as you hear and believe that greeting, it comes from your God. Receive what he promises to give you, more grace through Jesus and more help by the Spirit, that we may draw near to him with a clear conscience in the joy of our salvation, in the fear of our holy God, and with much anticipation that he will supply us all our needs. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.